trying to mush me, man. I know I'm doom and gloom. I know I'm always pessimistic. My eyes are closed with, you know, like this going into the fourth quarter of every game that I have. But don't drop a, hey, man, this is a nice little return on investment we got here. Don't do that until it's
all
over.
Right.
93-75, our big bet of the night. The Phoenix Suns lead by 15 over the Miami Heat. We didn't lay the number. We got a little scared there. We just said, let's take the money line, both at minus 165. So a 15-point lead. As we expected, Matt, in Portland, this game is back and forth, back and forth. 91-87, the Boston Celtics with a 92-87 with a lead right now over the Portland Trailblazers, as they have outscored the Trailblazers by 8 in the third quarter. And what did we say the second half line was? Pick,
yeah. Celtics pick minus 20 or minus a half. They're playing really well right now in this third quarter.
Jason Tatum, 24 points. Jaylen Brown, 20 points. Every starter right now for the Celtics in double figures.
Wow.
87 of their 92 points have come from the starting lineup. The only 5 points have come from Tristan Thompson off the bench. 18 from Kemba Walker, 13 from Marcus Smart. Robert Williams has 12 points, so it has been a very strong performance from the starters. How about Carmelo Anthony? You could have got some pretty good plus money at the Tim Murray book. I said it was plus 400.
Is he still the leader?
He is the leader for the Blazers at 18 points. Earlier in the show, Matt said for me to make him odds on Carmelo Anthony to lead.
Should have got down.
The Blazers.
I knew it.
We got low limits.
It felt like one of those
guys. We got low limits at the Murray shop here, but that was the odds I said. It's no time. Damian Lillard's got 17, so we got time for Dame time.
Powell
to go
has 17 too, so, and you would think they'd get a little more opportunities.
I mean,
so.
You'd try to hedge off it if I offer those odds for you right now.
Yeah,
going back to the Suns game, I mean, it has been a three-point fest of attempts from both of these teams. Both have attempted 35. The Heat are 8 for 35 from 3, while the Suns are 12 for 35. And I tell you what, the bench, it's funny, they are the opposite of what we've seen from the Chris Paul just tried to do it over the head pass on an alley-oop to DeAndre Ayton. It did not go well.
No.
But what I was getting to is we mentioned the Celtics and how strong their starting five have done so far. The bench for the Suns, 4 players in double figures.
Yeah, I saw that
here tonight. Dario Saric has 13 points. Torrey Craig has 10 points, couple of threes. Cam Johnson, 3 threes, 13 points. And how about the pride of Murray State, Cameron Payne, who used to have a lot of pain for your Morehead State.
Wasn't he on the team that went to the championship game against
Austin Peay?
Yeah, I think that's what it was. He was really good. Yeah. Cameron Payne's a baller down there.
Yeah, he's got double digits here tonight.
He didn't play with Morant, did he?
I don't believe so. He was prior to Ja Morant.
Yes, yeah.
But he's got 14 points tonight, a couple of threes. 95-78 is the score.
Cameron Ayton, DeAndre Ayton looking at a double-double.
The Utah Jazz get the win, but do not get the cover here tonight. Something we need to talk to JVT about is he's been on OKC win total watch because OKC is in clear tank mode.
Yeah.
I still believe, I haven't checked it, they are still
covered tonight, though.
3 wins away. Yeah, it doesn't help you for the win total. But they're in trouble if you own an over ticket on OKC. So we'll get to that. Obviously, the impact of Jamal Murray's absence for the Denver Nuggets and the Lakers get a nice win tonight. So what does that mean for the Lakers trying to hold on to a 5 spot? Can they get up to the 4 spot? And the Suns now lead by 17 with under 6 minutes to go. So that makes 2 of us happy.
That's keep that. I'm one of those too.
JVT up next. We'll be right back. It is the Nightcap, hour number three, live from the Circus Sportsbook. That's Matt Holt. You can follow him on Twitter, at Matthew Holt, USI. At One Tim Murray is where you can find me. And at me, JVT, is where you can find our next ghost. Ghosted. I need a vacation. That's why I'm leaving. I'm out of here. I'm out of here starting tomorrow. Parles, you got it. You're the next three nights. But he's been filling in on my guys in the desert. He will continue to do so all week. That is Jonathan Von Tobel. JVT, another loss for Oklahoma City here tonight. They did cover, so if you took the points, good for you. But where do we stand on Oklahoma City on win total watch? Because they have not won a game since you were here in studio with me.
Yeah, and now they still need three wins. When I was in the studio with you, they needed three wins. They still need three wins. It has been bad, man. And look, you know, they showed a little bit of fight, a little, you know, against Utah today. You guys mentioned they covered a really big number. Market gets a little out of hand. But, you know, coming into today, guys, we're talking about, I'll get the exact number for you, 1-9 straight up and against the spread their last 10 games with a negative 20.5 net rating. Like, these are games that aren't even close. Right. And that's kind of the worry. Like, if you were in tank mode and you were getting really competitive in a lot of these games and, you know, losing by two, three possessions, four, you can kind of talk yourself into being all right. They're getting blown out, man. Like, they're getting smoked and it's not even close. And, you know, it helps that guys like Lou Dort back in the lineup. It'll, you know, help your cause a little bit here. But this has become a sweat that should not have been one. And I feel very bad for anybody who's got a ticket that's got to go through this.
You know, we were talking about how much, you know, the Jamal Murray injury helped the L.A. Lakers, if that ends up being the first matchup. But regardless, it probably helps L.A. anyway, because they're not going to have that difficult a matchup in round one, assuming things continue to trend how they are. What do we think ends up being the end result for Denver here? Do they drop out of the five seed? I mean, Portland's losing right now, but only by five to Boston in a competitive game. Do we think that Denver drops below the five seed into the six, or even potentially below the six into the play-in scenario now without Jamal Murray? Because we talked about it earlier on the show. The one position that Denver is really thin at is point guard.
Yeah, you know, I don't know if it gets as bad as dropping into the play-in, Matt, but, you know, their schedule going forward is relatively tough. 13th hardest schedule after tonight, according to Tankathon, so you're going to have some challenging contests in there. And I think this is more damaging big picture in terms of play-in matchups. I think they've done enough, and I think they're good enough going forward to maintain their spot at least within the top six. And, you know, keep in mind, too, you know, we talked about this today on My Guys, where if you look at the numbers with Denver when Jamal Murray's off the court, they're relatively mediocre, right? Negative 0.5 in terms of their net rating. Offensive rating right around 113.3. Defensive rating around 113.8. So they're like an average team without Jamal Murray. But the, you know, the fly in the ointment, if you will, the change here, the other factor, it is the presence of Aaron Gordon. And Gordon's presence here has changed things a little bit. If you look at some of the numbers, and it's a short sample size, I think we're talking about less than 300 possessions, if I remember correctly. Their net rating with Gordon and Jokic together on the floor and Jamal Murray off the floor is about a plus 7.7. It's a really good net rating. And so I think they can get by enough to where they won't be in danger of falling into that play-in situation. But you mentioned being thin at point guard. That is, to me, it's the best two-man game in the league. Like, there's no question about it. Jamal Murray and Nikola Jokic, pick and rolls both ways, are one of the more incredible plays you'll see in the NBA. So when you get into playoff series, depending on who that matchup is, that is going to be a nightmare. But I think if we're talking about seeding and where they're at, I think five seed is probably where they're going to end up being at the point when we get to the postseason, you know?
Yeah, and one thing, and we talked about it last week when you were filling in for Matt, JVT, which was, you look at this East Coast road trip for the Lakers, and how many games would they ultimately be favored in? Well, I think they were a favorite today against Charlotte, and they get that win. They go 3-2 on this road trip, and now there's light at the end of the tunnel. We know that AD's likely coming back in, a week. LeBron not too far behind. They have Boston on Thursday, which will be a challenge. Obviously, that, you know, the Utah series, home, back-to-back home games, but With this injury to Jamal Murray, the possibility of them getting to a four seed, hosting games 1 and 2, and you're getting a banged up Denver team, which you mentioned that pick and roll game. LeBron and AD, if they're healthy, and LeBron and Montrezl Harrell, they're going to eat them for lunch with that pick and roll.
Yeah, and you know, Tim, I think what really should not be lost on anybody who has been keeping track of this, or maybe isn't, maybe I should put it that way. Frank Vogel, I think, has done an incredible job with this team in the last 12 games without LeBron James. Yes, they're 5-7, but remember, we, you know, you mentioned it. We were having conversations about this team falling into the play-in. I don't think they're going to sniff it at this point with AD coming back relatively soon in the next 9 days or so, and then LeBron a week after that. But Vogel has done fantastic. They are the second-best defensive team since they've lost LeBron James. They're shooting the ball more, at least in terms of frequency. It hasn't really resulted in percentages, but, you know, I've used this phrase a couple of times when talking about the Lakers the last couple of days. They've just decided from their offensive game plan, Tim, to be like, screw it. You know what? We're not a good offensive team. We have no shot creation. So if we're going to be inefficient, let's be inefficient from the most efficient area of the floor, and that's from three-point range. And that has really helped them along the way here. So I think it's been really impressive what the Lakers have been able to do over these last 12 games. And, you know, in a matchup with, you know, the Denver Nuggets, who I think, that, you know, before, even with Jamal Murray on the floor, and that's why they went and got Aaron Gordon, right? Gordon was going to help some of those defensive matchups. This is now going to be a really big problem for them in a matchup like that. You know, I think the Clippers present some unique challenges as well, because if you look at the Clippers, one of their weaknesses, I think, is in the backcourt, right? Defensively, outside of Patrick Beverley, who is taking on the Luka Doncic, who is taking on the Jamal Murray if he was going to be healthy. And now, if it's a series with the Denver Nuggets, you don't have to worry about that as much. It's a Monte Morris. It's a Will Barton that you could potentially have to deal with there, which would help you out. A Facundo Campazzo, who's, like, I think 4'11 right now. So, like, I think that's really going to help you out in that regard. So it's a really good point. Like, these, where we're really going to see this absence is definitely going to be those playoff series.
We're talking once again to Jonathan Von Tobel at me, JVT. And sorry, man, I just want to double down on the Lakers, because one thing, I don't have a future on the Lakers. I mean, that price, as you well know, JVT, has been incredibly short all year long. And my biggest worry recently was, okay, yeah, they'll have AD and LeBron back, but if they're the sixth seed, you may be getting the Clippers or the Suns. And if you win that series, then you're getting the Clippers or the Suns, and then you're getting the Jazz. I mean, that is just grueling. Now, you get the Nuggets, who are banged up, or maybe the Blazers jump in there. They don't play any defense. I feel like if you are a Lakers futures holder, it's not easy, because you still have to go through the Jazz and likely the Clippers or the Suns to get to the finals. But now that first-round matchup, they are going to be a pretty sizable favorite, whoever they get, whether it be the Nuggets or the Blazers.
Yeah, 100%, man. And, like, look, when you look at just the overall for the Los Angeles Lakers, still a really skilled team. You know, I have questions about, in today's day and age, if you lack shooting the way that the Los Angeles Lakers do. You know, I think that is going to be a problem. I think there's a very, you know, I think there's a deep conversation to be had. Not so much that the Lakers got lucky, but that it was a very beneficial road for the NBA Finals last year, right? When you look at the path that they took, being able to avoid the Los Angeles Clippers, getting a banged-up Miami Heat team in the NBA Finals, the shooting lines and sights. You know, there's been a big conversation around the NBA about the shooting in the bubble and how good that was for them. And so in a different situation, right, in a more normal situation that we're used to, how strong is this team really going to be? And remember, their depth, while they got better, I think their floor got raised offensively by signing a Dennis Schroeder, by getting a Montrezl Harrell. You know, their floor lowered defensively with those guys. So this is going to be a different type of run for them going forward. But again, it is so much more beneficial for you to be a 4 seed than it would be a 6 seed at this point right now, having to go through like a grueling series with the Clippers in the first round or something like that.
You know, turning the page to tomorrow, I know a lot of people are going to want to talk about the Nets and the Sixers, and for good reason. It's a great matchup. You know, the Knicks and the Pelicans. But I'll say that the game that caught my eye right out of the gate tomorrow is a battle of the 7 and the 8 seed in the West between Dallas and Memphis. Dallas, a 1.5-point road favorite. And what I thought was interesting is Luka Doncic and their owner, Mark Cuban, are already complaining about the fact that there's the playoff setup and the way it's set up this year. Yet Mark Cuban is one of the owners who unanimously voted for this. He's obviously now just going to the media to take up for his star guard, Luka Doncic. But at the end of the day, I never like to see players making excuses this time of year. I think this is a really interesting matchup, and I actually like the small home dog in the Memphis Grizzlies in this spot.
Yeah, you know, Memphis is playing really well defensively, Matt. Like, they have been, that is the one consistent thing about them. You know, personally, I've had a really hard read with Memphis, because if you look at their games throughout the season, and they've been a really streaky team, right? You know, they go through these stretches where they're just ripping off covers left and right. But it kind of ties into their three-point shooting. They're a mid-20s team in terms of rankings for three-point percentage as a team on offense. But it's like, it's really just about being hot or cold. And if you go through some of these win streaks, it ties into really good shooting nights. But I couldn't agree with you more. Like, the reason that Mark Cuban voted for that, as he did not expect his team to be in these play-in situations, and Luka Doncic and them complaining about it because, of course, they are. But it's their own fault, right? You can't lose games to the Houston Rockets like you did, right, on what, March 29th or whatever it was when they were playing them. Like, these are some of these losses that pop up for Dallas that I think are kind of inexcusable. And I think, to your point, you know, one of the things that I think Memphis does very well is protects the interior, seals it off. Dallas is not a team that attacks the interior. They're really perimeter-based, and it makes your job a little bit easier as a defense, especially a skilled defense like the Memphis Grizzlies. So I kind of expect that this is going to be one that kind of plays into the hands of Memphis. And I think on the other end of it, right, Dallas is, since the All-Star break, one of the top 10 teams in terms of defensive efficiency. But personally, I think that's a little fraudulent, right? In the first half, you were well around 15th, mediocre defensively. You've gotten some relatively poor offenses on your schedule up to this point. I think there's some sort of regression coming for this Dallas defense, and we've seen it in flashes. And I think, you know, we might get a little bit of that regression against Memphis. So I would always warn you, though, especially in a second half like this and a condensed schedule, we do have some surprise bodies that pop up on these injury reports. Case in point today, Charlotte Hornets, Terry Rozier out of nowhere in the morning injury report is down. Doubtful to play, so always keep an eye on that as these teams are being super cautious with these guys. But to your point, Matt, this is a really important game, and I would think get all hands on deck if you're healthy.
We're chatting with JVT, our senior NBA analyst. Catch him on My Guys in the Desert this week, as he's done a fine job the first 2 days. I'd say he should come back for the final three, so we'll see what happens. Rumors told me, sources say that he will be back the remainder
of
the week. JVT, you did a little blind resume experiment on Twitter today, and always great to have a poll for Sixth Man of the Year. Now, Jordan Clarkson is the runaway favorite for Sixth Man of the Year. Tell us what your little experiment told the Twitter sphere.
So I think, and I want to set this up properly too, because, you know, Tim, I am never afraid to admit that I am not the smartest person in the world. You know,
I
might come off as it, right? You know, I know it's shocking, right? But this popped into my head because I was listening to Zach Lowe's podcast today, and he and Chris Herring from Sports Illustrated were talking about the Sixth Man of the Year for a couple of minutes, and Lowe, kind of like a throwaway line, said something on the lines of, I don't know why we think this Sixth Man of the Year race is over when I don't think Clarkson is the best candidate on his team. And I was like, wow, that sounds really interesting. Let's look into this. And sure enough, if you look at the numbers, which this had passed by me, there's a really big discrepancy here. If you look at this, look, Jordan Clarkson blows Joe Ingles away in terms of points, right? But then you get to the rest of the numbers. Field goal percentage, massive edge for Joe Ingles, 52.1% compared to 42.2%. Three-point percentage, massive edge to Joe Ingles, 48.7% to 34.9%. The true shooting percentage, look at that discrepancy, 71.4% to 55.2%. Points per 100 shot attempts, it's a cleaning the glass metric, 143.2 for Joe Ingles, 112.4 for Jordan Clarkson. And then you get to the net rating when they're on the floor, Jazz plus 4.4 with Joe Ingles on the floor, a negative 0.9 with Jordan Clarkson on the floor. Jordan Clarkson could still potentially win this award. But when you're telling me that at BetMGM, which is still available right now at 12-1 for Joe Ingles, when I give you that resume right there, is minus 900 the proper price for Jordan Clarkson? And I would kind of say no. And remember, Tim, last week when I was on with you, we had noted that the Sixth Man of the Year, there was a massive discrepancy in the market. I think it was points bet that was a lot lower than the other markets. A lot of them were all over $1,000. And now you're starting to see the market kind of come back a little bit because Clarkson has been injured. But I think there's a really strong case here for Ingles. And again, 6-1, I don't really want it that much. But that 12-1 is still out there if you're in a spot where BetMGM still offers it. And I think that's totally worth it. I bet it earlier today.
Do you think the amount of starts that Ingles has actually hurts him in this case? Because, look, the one thing people love about Jordan Clarkson here is he has zero starts on the year. Second leading scorer on the Jazz with zero starts. But Ingles has, what, 14 or 15 starts? So, you know, more than a quarter of their games he started this year. And I think sometimes with voters, because this is a voted-on award, that can actually be a detriment.
You know, it could, but, you know, Doug Kazarian of ESPN, man, asked me the same question on Twitter. So I went back and looked. Eric Gordon won it a couple of years ago. He started 15 of 82 games. Lamar Odom won it back in his one of his final years in the league. He started 32 games that year out of 82. You know, yeah, so we have there's a lot of cases of guys starting double-digit games.
32 out of 82.
Yeah. Wow. Right. And I think it was actually 34, 35. Like, it was a really high number of games. And, you know, and think about it, too. You know, Ingles starting because of injuries, things like that, generally still a bench player. So we have at least history that tells us that these guys can start quite a few games and still be eligible to win this award. So if that, you know, that popped into my mind, that was brought up, went back and looked, and at least there is history to tell us that that doesn't matter. At least there's certain instances where it did not matter.
He is JVT. He's our senior NBA analyst. Catch him this week co-hosting My Guys in the Desert from 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern. JVT, you're the man, and we will talk to you later on this week.
I am hosting. Let's get that right. I'm running the show there on My Guys. Right?
My apologies. My apologies. He is
hosting. See you later, guys.
He's hosting My Guys in the Desert.
He might have been better at co-hosting with you, but I guarantee he didn't have as many bets on the show.
That's true.
Yeah.
Phoenix Suns, baby.
Phoenix Suns, nope. And Suns Incorporated.
Nope. No crumpling this ticket, and we've got a sweat. Damian Lillard's starting to hit some threes, and he's fired up. We'll see if Dame Time says
Dame
it's time to go. 107-102. Celtics leading the Blazers. A late night sweat. It wouldn't be the nightcap without it. It wouldn't be my final show before a little vacation without a little late night sweat, but the Suns coming home certainly was enjoyable. It's the nightcap here on Visa. I'm not greedy. I'm happy.
Yeah.
Biggest bet that we made tonight came home with the Phoenix Suns winning on the money line. Boom. They win and cover, by the way. 106-86. A very impressive effort by the bench of the Phoenix Suns tonight as four members of the Phoenix Suns bench hit double figures. Saric, Craig, Johnson, and Payne all get into double figures. And even Jevion Carter, from former West Virginia point guard, he got into the action, had 9 points.
All right.
We 106-86. We're happy.
Yep.
I mean, it wouldn't stink if the Blazers were able to come back and win this game.
Sure wouldn't.
They are down 107-102 right now.
They just got a big stop that we needed.
So we're keeping our eyes on that. The starting lineup for the Celtics has been very strong as
buckets.
You got a three there, or no?
Two.
CJ McCollum, a little jumper. Carmelo Anthony has 25 points.
Is he leading right now?
He is. He's leading the Blazers right now with 25 points. Damian Lillard has 23. So the Murray Sportsbook would be in some trouble tonight.
You'd be sweating. Murray book would be sweating.
I would be. If I took that bet at plus 400, those odds that I made, I would be sweating Damian Lillard. I'd be cheering mightily for Dame Time.
And it's got to be Dame Time now.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He is. And I think if Dame Time goes off, the possibility of me winning this bet. But taking a look at some of those prop bets here, Damian Lillard sitting there with 23 points, his over-under tonight, 25.5. Jason Tatum, over. He has 27 points. His
3 minutes ago, does Dame go over his total? That has to be a big favorite, right? Like, yes, minus 300.
Yeah,
only needs 3 points.
I'm done making those yes-no props.
I wish I would have got down.
Too much liability at the Murray book here tonight. But Damian Lillard at the free throw line does bang his first free throw.
This is a two-point game with three to play. This thing's going to come right. And this has been back and forth
and
all game.
We called this game, even though we laid the point with the Blazers, we said this is going to be a game that's going to go back and forth. There's not going to be a runaway in this situation.
I don't think there's ever been a double-digit lead in this game.
No, it is.
I haven't seen one.
It is a one-point game now, 107-106, the Celtics leading the Portland Trail Blazers. So the treat of the night, certainly for us, was the fact that we were able to cash our Suns bets.
Yes.
I would say the beat of the night.
Chicago White Sox plus 1.5 after giving up zero runs in 9 innings.
Yeah, I would say that pretty much sums it up there.
Yeah, that was a stinker.
So the Chicago White.
J.J. Crochet. Oh, jeez.
That's your guy.
Crochet. Never bet on a guy.
Garrett Crochet. That is your guy who does not have an ERA. Carmelo!
Oh, Mello.
So, yeah, going back to earlier tonight, we have the graphic up there. The Indians and White Sox.
Who ended up winning that plus 300 Bruins? Bruins, okay. I thought we had the second straight night, but Bruins did win the shootout, yep.
So tonight, and even last night, we said, look, this is going to be a terrific pitching performance or pitching matchup. Shane Bieber, Lucas Giolito, two aces going head-to-head. We've got a tie ball game in Portland, by the way.
Dame time.
It's Dame time. It's Dame time. But Shane Bieber threw nine innings.
Yeah, that was a treat to watch them both pitch.
Not a complete game because it went 10 innings, but goes nine innings, no runs, strikes out 11, including a strikeout in the bottom of the ninth inning with two men on. T.J. McCollum, what are you doing?
I know.
Lucas Giolito, on the other hand, as we see the prop bets here, goes under his strikeouts, but goes seven innings, three hits, went into the eighth, didn't finish out, didn't record an out, strikes out eight, got a questionable walk. That's a charge. Give me a charge. Nope, didn't get a charge. Just a really terrific pitching performance tonight for the Indians and the White Sox. That was a treat to watch that game. And then we go to...
I got a treat for you. How about if you bet over in the Reds and Giants, and they got over in the first inning?
Blazers have the lead, baby.
Yes.
C.J. McCollum, pride of Lehigh, corner three.
I will take it.
We will see. We're going to have to go to break. What's going to happen? 50 seconds to go. Celtics have the ball. 112-111. Oh, and a foul at midcourt. They better not be in the bonus. That is a terrible foul.
Yeah.
Midcourt. Yusuf Nurkic hedging hard on a Jason Tatum screen and roll. Hopefully, they are not in the bonus. And that was just a ultra-aggressive type of play there. But Celtics and Blazers, as good as we could have asked for to close out the night. 47 seconds to go. Blazers lead by one. Who will win? We'll find out on the other side of this break. It is the Nightcap here on VSiN. The spring sports betting action is just getting started. Our VSiN experts are covering early season baseball trends, NHL, and NBA playoff races. Plus, we're looking at all the key picks and predictions for the NFL draft. We give you all the tools to make the most of every bet, including our 24/7 video coverage, odds and analysis for every game on VSiN.com, our daily members-only best bet emails, and in-depth coverage of every major event in Point Spread Weekly. The weather and the betting action heating up, and now is the time to sign up for your VSiN 10-day free trial. VSiN.com/subscribe. Step back jumper, Damian Lillard, no good. And now we've got to play defense.
Ooh.
So they went for the 2-for-1 situation. So now no need to foul.
No.
But Boston is going to run this thing down as there is 6 seconds differential game and shot. Boston, while we were at break, went into the lane, were fouled, Jason Tatum, and now he's going to try to end it. And
he does. Wow. Fadeaway three, Jason Tatum at the buzzer. 116-112 Boston, 7.5 seconds to play.
As Bill Raftery would say,
yes,
that took some onions. I mean, wow. He went. That's a terrible shot.
It was a terrible shot.
I mean, it was a step back. Damian Lillard in his face. It's a 1-point game. Go get an easier bucket. And he went for the win, the dagger, and he nailed it. Jason Tatum, wow.
Yeah.
Buries the three and likely buries our chance for a winner.
Yeah, he buried that middle for sure.
Yeah, you took a little in play on the Celtics.
Yeah.
Should have played Celtics second half, but ifs and buts were candy and nuts, the world would be a better
place. And look, these are important games for Portland because they have a chance to get up to the 4 seed here. Although I wonder if Portland wants to get to... Yeah, they do. Yeah. They do.
You want that 4-5 game.
Yeah.
And now, I mean, going back to the Lakers situation, the Lakers, as of right now, have a 2-game lead over the Portland Trailblazers. And remember, the Lakers return home Thursday. They play the Celtics.
Yeah.
We're playing better.
Yeah.
The Celtics are going for their 5th straight win here. I'm not sure if Evan Fournier will be back for that game. He's out with health and protocol reasons. So this will be a challenge. Lakers will be a home dog, no doubt, against the Celtics.
Celtics, who, I mean, just 2 weeks ago, we were talking about them in the play-in situation. They look like they could sneak up into the top four all of a sudden.
Norm Powell just buried a 3, so it's not over yet.
Stormin' Norman.
Not over yet. Big 3, but... just for argument's sake, and we've talked a lot about the Lakers today as they beat the Charlotte Hornets earlier tonight, 101-93. Another under, by the way, in the Lakers.
Yeah.
Man, unders just come
another up. Game where a team fails to get make 100 against them.
Yep.
93 points tonight.
And to JBT's point, I mean, Frank Vogel, I know there's just this assumption
that... You think he gets coach of the year?
No, probably not. I mean... I think you...
Utah?
Yeah, I think you have to give it to Quinn Snyder right now. But I know there's this narrative out there. If you're the head coach of a LeBron-led...
Does nobody have odds up on that? What is going on here? We can't bet this?
If you're the head coach of a LeBron-led team, you don't get credit if you win. And you get a lot of criticism if you lose.
Yes, yeah,
Frank
you're
Vogel
right.
deserves a ton of credit. And what JVT said, I thought, was an excellent point. I mean, this team has continued to defend without LeBron James. But if the Celtics hold on to win this game, the Lakers are up 2.5 games over the Portland Trailblazers. And it just gives them continues to give them that little bit of cushion with AD and LeBron still working their way back.
Yeah,
they have a home back-to-back games with Utah coming up here shortly, and we're gonna get some free throws here in just a sec. 3.5 seconds to go, Portland and Boston. So not over yet. Who do we have going to the line? Marcus Smart. I'll
take
Marcus
Smart. And they roughed him up a little bit too. They gave him a little shot to the ribs. Just try banging a pair with that. Your ribs hurting there, Mr. Smart.
Marcus Smart, 2-for-2 from the free throw line so far today. He's a good free throw shooter.
He's
79% free throw shooter. Missed the first.
Ho, ho.
We're still alive.
Oh boy, this is going to be a good ending.
No timeouts. Portland cannot advance the ball, so no timeouts.
It's going to be Dame time from just across half court.
I'll take my chances.
I will as well.
Marcus Smart misses the first free throw.
Do you want to make this one now? I mean, you want him to have to go the whole length, right? I wonder if he...
No, he missed
did
on
miss
purpose.
On purpose. I actually agree with
and
that.
And now they're trapping Damian Lillard.
Oh, wow. What a play by Boston. So smart at the end.
That was
a bummer for us, but what a smart play at the end.
That was excellent execution, and to your point, at once there's no difference because Portland had no timeout.
And was going to have to take a 3.
There's no difference from a 1 and a 2-point lead. So Marcus Smart, who missed the first free throw, purposely missed the second. I mean, this was a play that Brad Stevens clearly had in the playbook.
Yes, and the players knew what to do. Each player, the shooter missed the free throw. The other two guys actually trapped in the corner.
Raced to trap him, and he could do nothing.
No. Nope.
There was nothing that Damian Lillard could do. Wow, that was excellent execution to close out a game by the Boston Celtics. To get the win, 116-115. You don't get your middle, but you did cover your pre-flop bet. I did not. I should have gone in. As Portland went off 1-point favorite and they lose 116-115 to the Boston Celtics. Really entertaining game there.
Great game.
And by the way, the total, second half total, remember we said 117? 118 points in the second half.
Wow.
231. Wow. This game lands. It closed 230.
I thought you were going to say 117, and then he misses both free throws. No. That would have been on the beats.
That would have been bad. That would have been bad. So, you know what? Overall, I'm happy tonight.
Me too. I'm not greedy. Yep.
I had a little bit on the Lakers earlier today. I had more on Portland, but I had the most on the Suns. That comes home.
We're both going to roll up to the window after the show.
Nice little smile on our face. Cash our tickets.
How you like us now, Jeff Benson?
he's going to say, I think we're doing all right. We're doing all right with you guys firing away.
Yeah, for sure.
So the last NBA game of the night has concluded. The Boston Celtics win it 116-115. Boston has now won five consecutive games. And on Thursday, they will visit the Los Angeles Lakers, who got a nice win today, 101-93. The Lakers, thanks to that Portland loss, 2.5 games up on Portland for that fifth playoff spot in the Western Conference. We'll turn the page, look ahead to tomorrow, wrap things up next. It is the Nightcap here on VSiN. Impressive finish to that Celtics-Blazers game. Jason Tatum with the clutch three to make it a four-point game. Blazers responded after using their final timeout. But once again, going over the final moments there, Marcus Smart gets fouled. It's a 116-115 game, about 3 seconds to go. Portland has no timeouts.
Yep.
Can't advance the ball. And after Marcus Smart misses the first free throw, Brad Stevens lets Marcus Smart know, miss this second one. He misses it on purpose. Dame grabs the board. Immediately, two defenders from Boston trap in the corner. He can do nothing, and that's your ball game. 116-115. Terrific execution to close out the end of the game and give Dame no opportunity for even a half-court look as the Celtics win 116-115. And now the Celtics, they've won five in a row, climbing up, and because that Eastern Conference was so smushed together. You know, we were talking about not that long ago, Boston being in the play-in game. They're now the five seed.
Yeah.
So, and you're looking at Atlanta only a game and a half up.
That Boston, East is unbelievable. Five teams separated by a half game.
I think you're the reality of a Boston-Miami 4-5 matchup.
That's tasty. Round one.
Finally, you know, because the Eastern Conference playoffs, Matt, for the most part, was looking less. The first round was looking very,
chalky,
very lackluster. Yeah. Sixers against whoever, blow them out. Nets, massive favorites against Charlotte. If we get Boston and Miami in a 4-5, I mean, obviously, for television purposes, you're getting the defending Eastern Conference champs against Boston. So you're going to get those in prime spots, and that's going to be really the only appealing Eastern Conference first-round matchup on paper if we were to get it. And then the Western Conference, we could get a handful of really intriguing matchups in the first round. I think whoever Dallas gets could be interesting. But
right now it would be Phoenix. And I bet you that for a 2-7 matchup, which is normally a pretty wide spread, yes, I bet it would be.
Right now, hypothetically,
yep.
Let's look at what the matchups would be. This is as of right now. It'd be Utah, Memphis, Phoenix, Dallas, Clippers, Blazers, Nuggets, Lakers. Suns, Mavericks, 100% would be the closest series price.
100%, yes.
100%.
No doubt, yes.
The Lakers would be a very big favorite over the Nuggets.
I think minus 400.
Oh, maybe.
Because no Murray.
Clippers would be a significant favorite over the Blazers because they can't play defense. And then the Jazz over the Grizzlies. I really hope
Jazz would be like minus 1,500.
The Warriors have got work to do, and the Pelicans are trying to get into the play-in situation. Man, I want to see Steph Curry in a first-round matchup.
And I want to see Zion in the Pelicans
as well. I would like
to
see it, too. And I tell you what, the NBA wants to see that, too.
They do. Sorry, Pop. Sorry, Spurs. Nobody wants to see you in there.
Yeah. San Antonio, I think if the NBA could handpick this, they'd say, San Antonio, get You're out. Yeah. And then you look at the play-in. If San Antonio, let's say, gets removed, and they're in the 9 seed and have a 2-game lead over the Pelicans. But let's say San Antonio gets bounced. You're looking at the play-in for the Western Conference. Dallas, Luka. Memphis, Ja Morant.
Yep.
Golden State, Steph Curry.
Yep.
Zion in New Orleans.
That would be amazing. Whew. Made for TV games right before the Perfect. Playoffs really heat up. That's what they dreamed up when they put this whole format together.
Because the Eastern Conference, in reality, you're going to get Charlotte.
You're right. It's Boston, Knicks. Miami.
Miami in the first round would be great, but I'm saying for the play-in.
Oh, yeah.
It'd be Charlotte. No.
If they had their withers about it, they would say, hey, Toronto, go away. Bulls, go away. No, Washington, get in there.
I don't think. I think the Bulls, they like. Zach LaVine.
They definitely want Washington in there with Beal and Westbrook.
Yeah, but I think with Zach LaVine and them going out and getting Vucevic,
yeah,
I think the Bulls would be
intriguing.
They'd
probably say Indiana, Toronto, take a hike. We'd rather have Chicago, Washington.
Yeah. No,
because you want Beal and Westbrook for one game.
Yeah.
If you can get it, yeah.
If you can get it. Right now, the Bulls own that final play-in spot. They're the 10 seed, and they're 2 games clear of the Raptors, who feel like the season's just done.
Yes.
And then the Wizards, who could go to Utah and snap a 24-game winning streak, but yet they're 20-33. They make no sense to me whatsoever.
The Washington Wizards are the only team in the East outside the top 8 currently on a winning streak.
All right, let's turn the page to tomorrow, a Wednesday evening, and we do have DraftKings does have a line, Brooklyn at Philadelphia, and you had an interesting thought about this line, because right now DraftKings, it's the only one available, and they've got Philly laying 5.5.
I think that line completely insinuates that Kyrie Irving's going to be out. Now, we know he's away from the team for personal reasons. He's questionable whether he'll be back tomorrow. I think if he is back tomorrow, 5.5 is generous with Brooklyn. And regardless of what you think it should be, I guarantee if Kyrie's going to play, it won't be +5.5.
Yeah. We know James Harden out. Obviously, he'll be out for next week or so. Durant is back. Looking down the board.
Dallas, Memphis, great game.
Well, Miami, Denver, too. Your first game. Now this is interesting. Denver is a 4.5-point favorite over Miami tomorrow
night. I think
it's
just because of the back-to-back.
First game without Jamal Murray. I guess the theory is your first game without, you know, one of your stars.
Usually people play hard, yeah.
I feel like that's going to be a spot where if I had to play it, I'd probably play Denver, because it feels like everyone's gonna be in Miami
trying to fade Denver without Murray. Yeah,
and you see it,
especially as a favorite,
right? And you're looking Denver laying 4.5.
No Murray. Yeah.
Oh, give me the points. Give me money line Miami. I think that if I had to play it, I would actually play Denver. But we'd be fading Miami for a second straight night. We want to do that.
I just might. Poke the bear. Sounds fun to me.
And it's another late night game for you to sweat out on the show
tomorrow. I have a ticket on every late night game.
I know.
Yeah,
I appreciate that.
You're
playing into it. Dallas, Memphis.
I don't even look at the early games anymore. I don't want to bet those.
It's no
I have
fun.
To work all day.
Dallas, Memphis. This game will be going on. Tips off a couple minutes before tomorrow night's show. Right now, if you like Memphis, you can grab 2. If you like Dallas, you can lay 1.5.
Yeah, those 2s are disappearing rapidly, though. It's a lot of 1.5s out there now. So I think if you like Memphis, you got to start scooping them.
Yeah. I see one offshore shop as a 2, a juice 2. And then as of right now, it looks like the Westgate has a 2. But yeah, I imagine that will that'll go away quickly. Yeah, a handful of other games, not really all that intriguing.
Knicks, Pelicans.
Yeah, I think that'll be, Pelicans laying points at home. I'm always hesitant to lay points with the Pelicans.
Lonzo is still supposed to be out tomorrow. So just keep that in mind. I actually like the Knicks here a little bit. They're good this year.
And they beat the Lakers the other day. So they're coming off a win. New Orleans. the other night, they fell. So the Knicks beat the Lakers 111-96 last night. The Pelicans did win last night.
Yes.
They beat the Kings.
I think they ended up covering, too.
I think they did, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Zion had 30. Brandon Ingram had 34 in that game. I mean, the two of them together are really impressive to watch. But not a big Stan Van Gundy guy. But, hey, but you know, two of those teams are ones we've talked about where you're playing for a lot. Both of those teams are fighting, scratching and clawing for postseason berths. Looking at switching over to baseball.
I'm going to have a couple of ugly bets tomorrow. That I know for sure.
What do you got?
I'm going to be betting Seattle, and I don't like to bet Seattle, but the fact that Baltimore ain't with Matt Harvey going is a favorite, that feels like an auto fade to me. So I'm going to be taking the plus money with the Seattle Mariners against Matt Harvey and the Baltimore Orioles for sure. And the way that Atlanta's playing right now, I don't think you can lay 230 with them. And I know this happens every time there's a potential sweep, and it's really bad. It's something that people used to say a long time ago, but it's bad betting against the streaks in baseball. It's, oh, you know, there's no way they get swept by Miami. So now this price gets inflated. It opened 210. It's up to 235 some places because people want to bet against the underdog sweeping. But at that price, I could tell you all, at least it feels like all the value's on the Marlins.
An early game tomorrow, the Washington Nationals taking on Adam Wainwright and the St. Louis Cardinals. Joe Ross was very impressive in his first start of the season, and he's plus 120 here at most places in town. Adam Wainwright, I mean, it's another year. Adam Wainwright, is he going to continue?
I don't hate the under there. You know, you still deal with the day after lingering sore arms there from the guys all getting their vaccination shots.
8.5 is the total in that
one. Neither one of those offenses are really electric. I feel like 8.5, and it's juiced toward the over. So if I could get an 8.5 under plus 05, that doesn't seem like the worst bet to open up the day at 10:15 a.m. Pacific time.
Nats will have a fresh bullpen. They'll need it for Joe Ross. He won't go deep, but if he can be effective through five innings like he was in his first start, I actually like the dog a little bit in that spot. Plus 120 on the road at St. Louis, coming off of the beatdown today.
Yeah.
The Cardinals won 14-3. Anything else jumping out at you on the board? Dustin May starts tomorrow night for the Dodgers, as you have to lay 275 with the Dodgers against the Rockies.
Yeah, I'm not really into laying 275. No, I don't know that anything else did jump out at me.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for this show. Thanks to Chris Cooley for bumming me out to start the show. But good insight, and we'll tweet something out from his thoughts of why he believes Mac Jones will end up being the third overall pick in the draft. Thanks to Ryan Blackburn. Thanks to JVT, Dez, Aaron, everyone behind the scenes. Matt Holt, I'm Tim Murray. This has been the Nightcap here on VSiN.